the gospel for this feast is the Beatitudes. And our gospel text is the Beatitudes as they are in Matthew. And the first 12 verses. I'm going to compare them with the Matthean, with the Lucan as we go along. But remember, as Matthew presents this, this is the opening sermon of Jesus to the crowd. And so it's very beautiful. As I wrote once, see, the Beatitudes mark the frontier between history and eschatology. They're an eschatological view of history and where history is going to unfold in the ultimate times, and those ultimate times are already available. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Well, does that mean they're going to see God like they do in heaven? No. But they're going to see God. You see? I'm sorry, that's the pure of heart. But the poor, the kingdom of God is yours. So we got to get poor, whatever that means. If we want to be in the kingdom of God, we got to get poor. And that's what these are. And so they are the description of the life of sanctity. And so that's what we're going to be looking at now. Now, I'm going to do them as they are in Matthew, because that's our gospel. But I'm going to point out how Luke, teaching the same thing, does it in a different way. And he uses different words, but it's the same tradition. Now, did Luke get them from Matthew? Probably not. He probably had them in another tradition. And so we have these two traditions concerning the Beatitudes, one in Matthew and one in Luke. You do the Matthean for the feast, and that's the one we're going to concentrate on. But this is not surprising. You know, there was such an abundance of teaching and tradition and preaching, and then finally writing down, by the authority of the Holy Spirit, writing the way he wanted written for Matthew and by Luke. And so that's what we're going to be studying right now. The text in Matthew is Matthew 5, 1 to 12. Parallel in Luke is, I'll find it and give it to you in a moment. Okay. So this is the Sermon on the Mount. So Moses goes up to the mountain and receives from God the law, HaTorah, the Nomos. Jesus goes up to the mountain, turns around, and in his own authority proclaims the new law. That's why Father Servet Pinkes, for instance, when he, wonderful book and a great moral theologian, but he analyzes Christian moral theology more in the light of the Beatitudes than in the light of the laws, which is so correct. Why? Well, because here's the new Moses going up on the mountain to deliver the new law. And that's why it says, you see, blessed, makarios is that word, the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. And Luke has, blessed are the poor, blessed the poor, for yours is the kingdom. In Luke, Jesus is directly uttering principles. In Matthew, he's preaching to the people. That's why he says yours. So, blessed, see, the poor in spirit. What does that mean? It means knowing. I'll tell you a good example of poor in spirit. The publican in the back of the temple. The fellow in the front is, I thank you, Lord, you know I'm doing pretty well, and I keep all the fast days. And the guy in the back is just saying, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's poor in spirit. And those are the ones, as our Lord said, when he told that parable is in Luke, there's no contradiction. That one went home justified. The one in the back saying, eleison me amartolon. That is, of course, where the monks got the Jesus prayer. That's the guy who goes home justified. Then we're going to turn that prayer, and not just to the Father, but to Jesus. Kyrie Jesu, hio tu teu zontos. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And they can get that so it goes on like a refrain in the bottom of their spirit all the time. All the time. They're living in the presence of truth. And so it starts off, see, blessed are the poor in spirit. That doesn't mean you can have all the stuff you want, but I'm poor in spirit, you know. There are rich people who are poor in spirit because it means, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I know that I have everything from you and I need you. And so theirs is the kingdom of God. This is the describing the saints, right? The saints were poor in spirit. They let God make them poor in spirit. They let God convince them that they didn't have a dime, that they were living by the mercy of God. But we got so far away from that that God raised up a saint, a huge saint, Thérèse of Lisieux, who lived this beatitude. Poor, had nothing, didn't want anything, wanted it all be from God. And that's the first beatitude. I have to be careful of the time or we won't get finished, but if we don't, at least there's enough to go on. Blessed those mourning, for they shall be consoled. This is my own translation, and I'm very literal because I'm trying to give you the flavor, you see? So, makarie I penthuntes. Penthos is mourning. There's a gift of penthos, which is weeping for your sins. Compunction, it's called. But it's penthos. Father Irenae Hauser, one of the great experts on Eastern monasticism, has a whole book on penthos. Blessed are the mourning. But you see, this is the intercession is born from this beatitude. See, and that's why it says, you see, you'll be consoled. If you're mourning over your own sins, but over the sins of the whole world, and the mess we've made of this world. Oh, my Lord, pick up the paper, turn on the TV. Do you see the blindness, the corruption, the pride, the arrogance? I'm going to do it my way. This poverty, I'm going to solve it. How? Get all the rich and force them to pay the poor. No. Change the rich so that they love God and love the poor, and they'll do it. The other is pride. And you see, that's the mourners. You see, are those who mourn for their sins and everybody else's sins. It's the grace. They'll be consoled. It's a promise. You'll be consoled. See? The meek. That's Matthew. And Luke doesn't have anything like it. What it means, you see, the meek are those who are not self-assertive, even though they could be. I mean, they know God, they know themselves, they don't have inferiority complexes, but they're not self-assertive. They leave that up to God. And what happens because of that? You inherit the land, and that's a quote, as you know, from the Psalm. The meek shall inherit. What's the land? It's hard, it's the land, but that land is only a symbol for heaven. If you're meek, if you're not pushing, if you're not stomping on people, you got a place in heaven. You see? These are the saints. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, what does that mean? Huh? Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Luke only has blessed those hungering now. All kinds of hunger, physical, emotional, you hunger. Matthew, hunger and thirst for righteousness. There's not a big difference. A poor man who hungers knows there's something unrighteous in the culture by which he's not being able to eat, and the guy two blocks up has got a banquet going on. See? He's hungering and thirsting for righteousness, to be right with God, but that the world would be right with God. And not by force. You know, because that makes me the savior of the world, which is the great communist and socialist error. I will fix it. So long as I get the credit and I have the power. But the whole idea of being poor in spirit, of mourning, is that you don't have it together and you don't own it all and you don't get all the credit. God does. And that's why you see to hunger and thirst for righteousness. It is so beautiful. They shall be satisfied forever. They'll be satisfied. Not just now, come the revolution. You know, this is, his name may not come now that I want it. Very famous and great author. And he said, look, here's what happens in a revolution. The rich get poor and the poor get rich. But there's the same division, the same suppression, the same caste. It's just that there's a big turnaround. The poor get up enough guns and power, and they take it all away from the rich, and the rich get poor, and the poor get rich. But the curse of humanity is still there. And so, and then we have three in Matthew that are not in Luke. Blessed are the merciful. Oh, remember this when you want to humiliate or be angry at somebody. Mercy. Because if you do that, what happens? Huh? You'll find mercy. You'll find mercy. It's just good business, but it's more than that. It's acting like God. You see? The pure of heart. Pure of heart means I don't have any agendas but God. I don't want to be recognized as a great whatever. I don't want to have all people thinking I'm wonderful. I don't want a lot of food, a lot of money, a lot of power, a lot of cars. You see, I want to be merciful. And I want to be pure of heart. That is, fixed on God. People who are fixed on God, you can't move them. You can't frighten them with threats. You can't coax them with bribes, because they have a pure heart. They only look for God. And what happens? They see God. Even in this life already, they know Him, and they just yearn for all the veils to be torn away and to see God. And the peacemakers, you see, they shall be called sons of God. Why? Because that's what God does. He makes peace. You get that, find that lovely text in the Epistle of James. Why are there wars? Because you don't have something and he does. You're going to go shoot him and take it. No. Those who make peace are like God. And if I do that, then like Father, like Son. I'm a son. I look like God. I mean, I don't look like God. But in my heart is the drive and the love and the mercy and the care of God. So, that's the Son of God there. That's the way sanctity is summed up by the church in those Beatitudes. Amen. Mm-hmm.